Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Atlanta Hawks. Marnie Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm joined by Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North. We're going to talk about the Wolves win over the Atlanta Hawks on Monday. And Marnie, this was a really fun one. It was a solid Wolves win, almost wire to wire. They end up winning by 21. They were up by, I think, 24 points at halftime. The Hawks made a little run in the early fourth quarter, but the Wolves kind of actually stepped up, put their foot down, said, no, we're going to make this thing a little more comfortable, a good finish, entertaining game. Really, a lot of good things to say about this one.
I love that, too. It's been a while since we've been able to gush over a basketball game and gush over so many individual performances. Take a category for the team as well, assists, pain points, fast break points. It was all there. It was a really complete, really balanced win for the Timberwolves, and I would say really much needed after the last couple of games and with how tight the West is and 14 games to go, now 13. Yeah, this was big. It was significant for the Wolves.
Yeah, it was. And especially with the, the way they lost Friday, just a disappointing loss to Brooklyn, and then have the whole weekend off. You do this one. I was a little nervous about this one game road trip, right? Those are always weird, coming off a loss, but they went down there, they took care of business. And the Hawks aren't a bad team. They've been playing a little bit better of late. They've been playing at a faster pace. They've been, playing for a new coach, and in general have been a little better than 500 since they fired their coach initially. And this was just, like we said, like a nice, well-rounded win. I think we can start with Anthony Edwards, of course, coming down to his hometown. I believe the first time he's beaten the Hawks in his NBA career. Had 32 points, shot nearly 50% from the field, didn't shoot it as well from outside the arc, but hit a couple of daggers late, was effective getting to the basket, passed the ball really well in this game. I thought the vision after Friday's game, there was a little too much straight ISO ball from Ant. And in this game, the Wolves ISO'd him a fair amount. He was still running off plenty of dribble handoffs into isolation, but it seemed like he was more, I don't want to say more willing to pass, but the vision was just there in this game for Ant. And I thought this was a well-rounded Edwards game offensively.
I agree. There were a couple of threes that I didn't love, but I think it was 0 for 7 or 0 for 8 before he finally hit one. And I feel like that factored in to him kind of just needing to break the seal at that point. So I guess I'll just kind of toss it away, because the rest of what Anthony Edwards did was really nice. He did a lot of attacking the hoop too, which I think everybody likes to see. It just opens up his game so much. And I know it meant a lot for him to be able to win in Atlanta. Remember last year, he got ejected from the game. He got two technicals. He was arguing a call and it was kind of a quick whistle.
Hey,
and so to be able to not only stay in the game but play well and have your team play well, you could just tell the way he was doing that high five dance with Kyle Anderson towards the end of the game. Like, that is a happy man right there, Anthony Edwards. So I'll take the way that he played the all around game, even though I didn't love every second of it. But if you're going to get this on a regular basis, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I guess it's a good point, given some of those shots that, breaking the seal, I think, is a good way to put that, what he was trying to do. And I think I was more okay with it because he also attempted 10 free throws in this game. And I felt like there was a lot less mid-range happening, right? He got to the line 10 times. He shot 10 threes, even though they weren't going in. I felt like, at least in general, there was more aggressiveness going to the basket. He was actually getting whistles, too. So I think that's maybe why it felt okay. He had almost half the Wolves free throw attempts in this game. We should also shouldn't go any further without talking about Kyle Anderson and his triple double, his second triple double of the season. And the graphic on Bally was the stat on Bally was that he was the first Timberwolves player with multiple triple doubles in a season since 2013-14, which is incredible. I did not realize that, but I guess it makes sense. He had 14, 12, and 10 in this game, shot 5 of 6, was really judicious with his shot selection. a couple of blocks, a couple of steals, was a phenomenal plus 33 in the plus minus column in this game. Just a really strong professional performance from Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, the 12 assists for Kyle tied his career high. The triple-double was, I mean, you could just tell by the way that his teammates reacted when he got that final rebound, how much they respect him, enjoy him, appreciate him. We hear Chris Finch heap praise on Kyle Anderson all the time, and I think it's well-deserved. I mean, he's a smart player. He's methodical and meticulous, I feel like. Maybe that part of that is because of the way he plays so slowly. Methodical is just the word that comes to mind. But in general, he is someone that you can feel good about having the basketball or having decisions to make in really important moments in the game. So I think that's a huge compliment to a player. But he's been a great fit. This is an offseason free agent signing that will go down as one of the best in Timberwolves franchise history. And you don't think of it. You think of a splashy player that, you know, had these crazy statistics or took you to the conference finals or something. And here's Kyle Anderson just playing his good, steady, reliable, smart basketball night in and night out. And this was kind of one of those games too that, I mean, he was 5 for 6 from the floor, and he had a triple double that included 12 assists. I mean, that's just really impressive. It's efficient.
Extremely efficient. Tonight's postcast is brought to us by our friends over at Prize Picks. If you'd taken Kyle Anderson over on probably anything, points, assists, rebounds, you would have been in good shape on Prize Picks. If you're not familiar, it's super easy to play. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people either. It's just you versus the projections available. They offer projections on any sport that you watch. Of course, that includes the NBA, but also MLB, which is just kicking off, NHL, which is ongoing. Of course, lots of big college basketball this week. So that's all over on Prize Picks, and you can make your entry in less than 60 seconds. It really is that easy. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Another thing that I thought was interesting, so we should mention Mike Conley had 21 and 6, shot the ball well. I think he was 3 of 13 Friday, so it was good to see him go 9 of 13, hit a couple of threes early. Rudy Gobert's stat line doesn't jump off the page, but I actually thought he was really effective and was in the right place at the right time quite a bit. Of course, he was questionable coming into this game, really a game time decision with the ankle that he rolled on Friday. And the stat line was 14-8-4. He did have 3 blocks, you know, not like, again, doesn't jump off the page, but there were basically all of his baskets. I believe he might've had one put back, but pretty much all of them were lobs. And it felt like the chemistry is finally starting to build. A couple were from Conley, but there was, you know, there was a Kyle Anderson one. I think there was maybe a Jaden McDaniels one or Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Yeah. Somebody that doesn't typically throw too many lobs to Rudy. And it just kind of felt like, even though the numbers weren't massive, that he was in the right place at the right time. It just felt more comfortable in this game. I don't know why. It feels like we've had a few of those here and there, and it hasn't really built very much. But this was one of the good ones.
It was. And I wonder if it's the activity level on offense that makes it feel like the way you were trying to describe it just now, Ben. Because I felt like that on Friday night. I know it was a loss to the Nets, that overtime game, but I had called that one of maybe the best game for Rudy Gobert in terms of offensive activity, just because he seemed to be moving a lot. He seemed to be getting the ball just really efficiently. And part of that, I'm sure, is the Mike Conley factor, and just whether it's Rudy's trust in Conley or the way Conley's been able to get him the ball and other guys kind of playing off of that. But now this is consecutive games where Gobert has just looked differently offensively. He's looked like he's in the right spots, or guys are getting him the ball in the right spots, or maybe a combination of both. It just doesn't look as clunky or as forced, and I feel like it's a compliment to both. It's both Rudy and it's both the guys that are assisting him. Maybe that's just the rhythm kicking in and guys finally figuring out how to feed him. But whatever it is, it looks different. It looks better. It looks smoother. It sort of just breathes easier. I don't know. It's a weird way to describe it. But if you know what it is when you see it. And yeah. I feel like we saw it tonight and we saw it on Friday night.
Yeah, I'd agree. I also want to talk about the Wolves bench. That's, of course, one of Atlanta's weaknesses. They've got a starting lineup of names. Everybody knows their starting lineup. They've got some good players on that team, obviously, but they don't have a ton of depth, and the bench isn't as good. The Wolves bench, I thought, even without Naz Reid, who missed the game with calf tightness, the bench played really well. We saw Luka Garza get some solid minutes. He played well in general, but in the first half when it was still, the game was more in question, he played very well. I thought Jordan McLaughlin played well in general. He had 5 assists, 1 turnover. Yeah. They had a good performance from Torian Prince. And then, interestingly, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, Marnie, but Josh Minot, he came in at the end of the first quarter in kind of a basically strictly two-play defense. And I saw Finch try to do that at the end of the third quarter as well and didn't quite get him checked in time. But when it was, playing offense, defense, kind of like, hey, we know the Hawks are going to finish, let's switch everything and put all of our defenders on the floor, McDaniels, Minot, Edwards, and wherever they go, we're going to switch it and we're going to make things difficult on Trae Young. And perhaps that's just the matchup, but I wonder if that's something that they're testing out as they get closer to the stretch run, potentially the play-in, hopefully the playoffs, where, this situational substitution with a young player like Josh Minot. I think that could be an interesting wrinkle if it's something they choose to do moving forward.
It was interesting when it happened tonight. It was just out of nowhere. It was early in the game, and all of a sudden Josh Minot is in the game. Okay. Then the immediate reaction is, did somebody get hurt? What did I miss? What is going on? But you're right. It was just a situational thing. It was, let's see what we have. And maybe because the lead was pretty comfortable that you could afford to do it, even if it was just for a couple minutes. But there are situations where you just need a spurt of defense, or you need something locked down, or you need to change the tide, or whatever the situation is, to find out if you have a player that you can really count on to give you those couple of minutes. Maybe it turns into more, but even if it's just like, we can put you in situationally, you're not going to freak out, you're going to give us exactly what we're looking for. Just be steady, be good, be really good defensively. That's a really nice plus for a coach to have in his back pocket, to be able to just throw that baby out when you need it, when another team is just on a roll and you're hemorrhaging points and you need a run stopper. Not that he would do it by himself, but you put in a few guys like that, you put in your best defensive lineup and you need to shut it down, boom. That could be a piece, could be interesting. We'll watch and see where it goes, see if Josh Minot pops in here and there on the defensive end for the Wolves.
Yeah, and we should mention Austin Rivers was out in this game too, and sometimes that's a role that he may play. Now, obviously, they're different players, and I guess generally play a different position too. But I do think that's going to be really interesting if there is just this the super long lineup with Ant and Jaden McDaniels and maybe Torian Prince and Josh Minot, that where you can just put as much length as possible on the floor, switch everything, and go offense, defense if you need to towards the end of a close game even. I mean, perhaps that's something they try with Josh Minot. Next up for the Wolves, they head back home, and now this is the one game road trip, and now it's a one game homestand against Boston on Wednesday. Boston's been struggling quite a bit lately. They lost 4 out of 5, actually 5 out of 6. They lost to the Rockets tonight. Perhaps they're getting Boston at the right time. For some reason in my head, I feel like that's what happened last time they played the Celtics, is Boston was in a rut and the Wolves did not win and it didn't go their way. But Boston's in Minnesota Wednesday and then back out on the road for Chicago and Toronto back-to-back Friday, Saturday. Carl Anthony Towns this last week posted some video of him working out, doing some one-on-one workouts. Fingers crossed that maybe we see him later this week. That's completely just, I'm just crossing my fingers is all. But who knows? But a difficult schedule upcoming with Boston, Chicago, Toronto, and the Knicks.
Well, you know what that means, Ben. This team's going to play pretty well.
Right.
We love it when the tough teams come to town. I cannot believe that score tonight from Boston in Houston, and Jaylen Brown was playing, Jason Tatum was playing. Yeah. It wasn't like those guys were resting or out. It was just a clunker.
Yeah.
For the Celtics, and we know every team is capable of that. I just don't know what that means. Does that mean they're on the downswing, they're kind of taking a breath, and they're not playing well right now this week? Or does that mean they're pissed off and they're coming into Target Center and we all need to buckle up? Don't know. We'll find out Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I looked this up real quick, and I was right. The last time the Wolves played the Celtics, which was right before Christmas, Boston had lost three straight, two to Orlando and one to Indiana, and was coming to Minnesota, or I guess Minnesota went to Boston for that game, and Boston beat Minnesota by 12 and then went on a four-game winning streak. So similar situation to the last time, and the Celtics last time were pissed off, and they did take it to the Wolves. So hopefully that's not the case on Wednesday, but we'll... We will find out. Of course, we'll go live following that game as you do after each and every Wolves game. So that'll be live on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe to find out when we go live after the game. It's usually about 45 minutes afterwards. You can also catch the audio if you missed the live video. Catch the audio on your favorite audio platform on the Locked On Wolves channel. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find the postcast after the fact. A big thank you for watching tonight. A big thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time.